Now, it looks as though pro-Russian forces are continuing to advance in eastern Ukraine. Ukrainian troops have pulled back from Luhansk airport. Separatists are claiming that two Ukrainian platoons surrendered in Donetsk. And in the port city of Mariupol, people have been digging trenches as some sort of protection against a feared Russian attack. Now, there will be talks taking place in Minsk later today. And, of course, the EU is considering what sanctions to take against Russia for its incursion across the border and support for the separatists. Local journalist with the Kiev Post, Evan Ostryznyuk, is on the line. Evan, give us an idea of what's happening on the ground. Is the advantage at the moment with the separatists?
Well, good day. Yes, it is very much with the separatists or with the pro-Russian rebels, depending on how you want to define them. With the massive incursion of the Russian army into southeastern Ukraine, it gave a decisive advantage on behalf of the separatists who were for several months on the losing end of the Ukrainian army campaign to recover southeastern Ukraine.
And as that is happening on the ground, as the advantage appears to lie with these mysterious troops, whether they're Russians or separatists or a combination of both, we have, of course, got Russian President Putin talking about statehood for eastern Ukraine and these talks happening in Minsk this afternoon. How do people on the ground fear this is going? Is this an annexation by stealth, do they fear?
Well, I think that's where it's been going for some time. As it stands, it very much resembles in the early 90s, the annexation or the indirect annexation of the Transnistria region in eastern Moldova and the two smaller regions in Georgia. I don't think originally this was the plan for Vladimir Putin, but I think it's grown that way since he formally annexed Crimea, which is part of sovereign Ukraine. And since the separatists, the pro-Russian rebels, were very much on the losing end, and the Ukrainian army was not in the mood, or the Ukrainian government not in the mood to surrender essentially territory to these regions, and they've been proving their mettle on the battlefield. It's very much clearly an escalation by the Kremlin to basically have some kind of permanent influence in that region.
Mm-hmm. And how close are Russian forces to the port city of Mariupol, where we hear people are digging trenches in some kind of small attempt to protect themselves strategically? What importance is that port city to Russia, and what do locals there fear?
Well, there's a Russian armor and a Russian artillery about 20 kilometers, perhaps even a little closer, just to the east of Mariupol, and over the weekend, various citizens have gone out to dig anti-tank trenches and put up anti-tank defenses. At the moment, there's not any movement, but the port of Mariupol is extremely important. It's the only deep water port in that area, and of course, much of Ukraine's industrial capacity is in the Donbass region, coal and steel and iron ore and that sort of thing, and a lot of it, if not most of it, goes to the port of Mariupol, and so the loss of it to Ukraine would be very economically damaging. And as far as the citizens go, it seems to be that they're very much pro-Ukrainian. On the weekend, there certainly wasn't any evidence of any pro-Russian attitudes in that city. So it seems to be that the people want to stay in Ukraine there.
Now, we have NATO saying today that at their meeting in Wales this week, they will be taking concrete steps to support Ukraine. What shape might those concrete steps think? Do people on the ground think that there really is going to be concrete aid coming from abroad?
Well, most people on the ground here are very, very doubtful, because for the past, 10 months, the Europeans and Americans as well have been promising all this sort of thing and keep on drawing a red line increasingly back towards Europe and doing very, very little other than sanctions, which had minimal impact. Now, I think if you're talking about NATO, I think the only real concrete steps that they might take is the most drastic, obviously, formal military intervention, which seems to be off the table. Mm-hmm. And the other one would be supplying the Ukrainian army with lethal aid, essentially. Up till now, they've only been, in separate countries, they've been supplying non-lethal aid, like bulletproof vests and food kits and their medical kits. But they might escalate that to actually providing weaponry to the Ukrainian army, which is in short supply.
All right, well, we'll see how this all develops. Thank you very much for bringing us up to date on the situation on the ground. That's Evan Ostryznyuk, journalist with the Kiev Post.